Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier again, and we've changed the pace. We've now got with us Ethne and Mark, and they're from the Hillsville Community Gardens. Welcome to the two of you.
Good day.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you. Ethne, the Hillsville Community Gardens, you came in and talked to us probably last year, or I think it was last year. Anyway, and you tell me there's a bit going on there at the moment, so tell us what's going on.
Well, Alan, we've really settled into a nice routine at the moment at the garden of having monthly workshops, and they're mostly run by Marcus, who was on with us last time, and we've had just so many different types of topics covered in the workshops. Marcus has also taken people on mushroom foraging tours and done all sorts of things.
Be touched with mushrooms at the moment.
Well, I know it's been a hot topic in the news for a little while at the moment, but we can assure you that, you know, we're on the right track with those, and just doing some, you know, refurbs and tidies around the garden, so it's ticking over nice. We're really happy.
So have you picked up any new members at the moment, or how many members would you have?
We're in pretty good shape at the moment, but we do still have some plots available, so anyone who's interested in coming along can try for a larger plot, a smaller plot, but also we now have planter boxes available. So if somebody wanted to just start small, just really kind of get going, you know, with a smallish patch, then we've got planter boxes available too.
Oh, that's terrific, because, you know, somebody might want to start off big, and when you say there is different sizes, what are we talking from to where? How small to how big?
Now, see, I should have come prepared, shouldn't I? I would say probably about 2 square metres would be the larger plot, and then, yep, and then the smaller one would be about half of that. And the larger plot, which is about sort of 2.2 square metres, you can produce a lot of food. So if you're a consistent gardener and you're making good choices about what you're putting in, you can have a really productive garden.
Tell me, do you have shared plots too?
Yes. So we have families with plots. We also have people who help each other out. And we actually have somebody who's wanting to recommit to his plot, but he's looking for a garden buddy. Yep. So we're going to promote that as an opportunity for somebody who would like to be gardening, but not necessarily pay the garden fees, but come along and just, you know, garden with somebody. So we're looking at that as well.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking so much particularly of the fees, but I thought that some people might find it a bit arduous, so it'd be handy to have someone else who could go down and help as well.
Definitely, and I think that'd be a good one for Mark to jump in on.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Ethne and Mark. Well, we haven't heard from Mark now, up till now, but we are now. Mark, first of all, what got you involved with the Hillsville Community Garden?
Well, I moved up to Hillsville about 5 years ago, and I live in a Department of Human Services unit. I'm a stroke victim. I wanted some community, you know, meeting people. So, yep. And I like gardening. So, and the unit I've got is tiny.
Yeah, so there's not much opportunity to grow anything there.
Now, tiny little concrete front yard and a tiny little concrete backyard. So it's pot plants or nothing really. So gardening was always a passion, and I thought, well, why not? I went down and met Ethne and a couple of people down there, and soon after I've been there for more than a year.
And you got talked into it?
I got talked into it, and now I'm now a secretary.
Oh, very good. One of the things that, and I was talking to John Pascoe before, and I know you know John, and we talk a lot on this program about is social isolation, and one of the big problems with dementia and all that is social isolation.
Well, that's another big reason.
Sorry?
That's another big reason.
Yeah, and so it's a good reason for you to get out of this.
Yes, yes, because I do live by myself.
Yep.
I'm divorced, but I do see my kids a fair bit, but they're in Melbourne or in Kinglake,
yep.
So they're not round the corner.
And the other thing too, and I know it's the same with the U3A, because we talk about it in a number of groups, it's not only the time that you put in at the community garden, it's the fact that when you go down the street, you know people.
And oh, yes.
You know, sometimes it can be a two-hour trip instead of walking down, not knowing anybody and going home again.
Oh, I've met lots of people there. Ethne will tell you that I'll turn up to Working Bees and all I do is sit there and tell people what to do.
Good way to go.
Yeah.
Now, Ethne, you were segueing into Mark, what were you going to say that Mark should tell us about?
his work at the garden. So really like Mark's connection with people at the garden, but also the type of gardening he does.
Yep.
So, and sharing the garden experience together.
Well, we were talking about having people help you. I'm in need of help. And also, but the garden supplies me with a raised garden bed.
Yep.
Marcus, who's been on the radio with you before, I understand, helps me a lot, even with, you know, planting out and harvesting and all the harder works that I can't really do. Yep. So it's great for that sort of thing down there. There's help for everyone, every ability.
Oh, we can't do better. So, Ethna, do you have the sort of working days, or do people just go down to the garden when they feel like it?
Well, really, there's a couple of requirements about being a member at the garden. Okay. So you are responsible for looking after your own plot, okay, but also making a commitment to what we call the communal areas. So people are required to put in about 2 hours per month, and that's to help, you know, keep the common areas clean, keep the lawns mowed, that kind of thing. So you have that community input, which helps everybody. It helps you stay together, it helps you see people, and it helps you create that sense of community that is important. So it's not just a location, it actually is vibrant with people.
So when you do work on this communal area, is it like a particular day when everybody's there, or do people just go down and do their own bit and then go home?
Bit of both. So we've got 4 working bees per year, so members are required to attend at least 2 of those 4 working bees, and that's a couple of hours on a Sunday, and it's really great.
It's not hard work, is it?
Not for me.
No, Mark just tells us what to do, and we have to get on with it. but, you know, it's the weeding, the planting, the mowing, all the tidy-ups that need to be done. So that's great, because the whole group can come together, or as many as, you know, are available, of course. But if people want to just do their 2 hours of communal work, they can do it when they like. But we've got a WhatsApp group, so members who want to join the WhatsApp group can just message each other saying, going down to the garden, who's got 20 minutes, you know, and that's a really great way for people to stay connected, or just say, you know, we need these supplies, those supplies, or as Mark has done before, I've got a mate who's got stuff available, do we need it, can we get it? And so it's that sense of people staying connected in person and online that really helps us kind of keep well, you have to keep everything ticking over, and there's so many things to manage, you know, day in, day out, that it's really helpful when, you know, people get on board and they get proactive and they come up with ideas, and it's you know, it makes it all tick over.
Mark, let's just talk to you again for a moment.
Sure.
So with these gardens, and do you find that people share produce as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many zucchinis I've given away over the last year.
Why did you grow zucchinis?
I made the mistake as a beginner of putting in far too many plants,
right,
and each of them were producing at least a few a week. So I don't know about you, but I can't eat a dozen zucchinis every week.
Mate, I don't like zucchinis. Let alone 2 or 3 a week.
Oh, and the trouble is, if you leave them for one day, all of a sudden they're 2 foot long.
I reckon those and pumpkins, like, I don't mind pumpkins, but you grow pumpkins and they take over the whole backyard.
Oh, absolutely. So I think I've learnt this year, that I don't need actually so much. I've got to calm Marcus down though. He likes to put things in for you.
So do you find though that at times you'd be better off to put a bigger variety rather than so many of this and so many of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you live on your own like I do, you don't want like a huge glut of anything.
Yeah.
So a little bit of everything is the best way to go.
So what sort of things at this very moment are you growing?
Look, at the moment it's mostly been prepared for spring, but the strawberries are in. The garlic's been in for a little while, so that doesn't ripen up until late in the year.
Yeah.
But and the basically been preparing the beds for lots of do all the things which are I can't kill, you know. It's like
they'll live no matter what.
Yeah.
Mark, is it nearly all produce, or do you have anybody that just grows flowers in their garden?
Look, there's a couple of people. Barbara's one of them, really, isn't she? She always has, and I do too, a little bit, have flowers generally just to brighten the place up.
Yeah.
And it also helps bring pollinators and all of that.
And it's a big thing to get the bees there too, isn't it?
It is. And so the garden is very active with bee life, lots of bird life.
Yeah.
Kookaburras are always looking at you when you're gardening. And we have a couple of resident magpies are always there.
Oh, Maggies, I can't. I don't like Maggies.
Oh, well, these ones are pretty harmless. We thankfully, we don't get the cockatoos very often because they destroy everything.
Well, they destroy everything.
Yeah, they do.
And they tell me that with the magpies, if you're good to them, they get to know you after a while, but I've never been able to get a relationship with a magpie yet.
I'm telling you, these two guys are usually there, not when I turn up, but within 5 minutes they're around. So I think they do get to know you and turn up and say hello.
Well, they say if you can look them in the eye a number of times.
Yeah.
The only times I've ever had come involved with them, the damn things keep shooting down at me.
It is swooping season at the moment, I'm told. I'm told right now.
Oh, wish you hadn't told me that.
yes.
Because when I walk in the morning, I go past a couple of spots and they're forever trying to give me a hard time.
Right, anyway. Another month or so of that to go yet.
Is there?
Yeah.
Ethne, you want to tell us a bit about, well, first of all, why did you join the Healesville Community Garden?
When I moved to Healesville in 2014, one of the reasons I did the tree change was to grow stuff. So I'd lived in a city for just so long.
What sort of area, like how close into the city?
Oh, like all through from like South Melbourne, really close. Albert Park, all around Inner Bayside.
So I lived there. What brought you out to Hillsborough?
I wanted the tree change because life just became too busy, too congested. The roads are terrible. Just everything is just too much of everything, and it's also just too much entitlement. I just felt that living comfortably in a city, you just get the enjoyment of being like a hyper consumer, and I felt I was over that, and it was time to kind of get back closer to the environment, get back to basics, get back to doing things like growing food for yourself, and living where I was. I just didn't have the space to sort of go for bulk.
So when you came back here, and I don't want to know where you live, we're not trying to find out, but Mark's told us he lives in a unit where it's nearly all concrete. Where you live, is there no opportunity for you to have a garden?
I've got a garden. So where I live has garden and has a view, so I've been really lucky to have that tree change experience I was hoping for.
So then my next question is, if you've got your own garden, what took you down to the Healesville Community Garden? I can understand Mark, where he's got nowhere else to grow, you had the opportunity, so what took you down to the Healesville Community Garden?
When I moved to Healesville, I wanted to first see if it was going to work. So I rented first. So when I came here, I rented. Yep. And so the community garden was a great place to actually just start a garden. But it also meant that I could garden with other people. Yep. So wanting to garden doesn't mean that you've got all the skills that you need. So it meant that as a renter, when I first moved here, as a renter, I could go to the garden, get a plot, but then also be around other people. So you can, chat with them, learn from them.
It's the actual communication between you and the other people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, people who would know the environment, so I've, not lived in this area before, so I'd actually, know what the seasons do, when to plant, when not to plant. So all of that local knowledge, you can just right at your fingertips.
True. Well, by the sound of what you're saying now, though, you're in a position where you could have, you obviously have your own garden at home as well.
Yes, I do. And I garden differently at home than I do at the community garden. So at the Because I can, and you can try things, and you can try different things. So at home, I can keep the kitchen basics. So all the sorts of things that people would want, to be growing at home for their own table.
Yep.
But what I can do at the community garden is experiment with Australian plants. So I've done that right from the get-go. I've really looked into all sorts of edible Australian plants and other plants that are just good. Plants that will attract pollinators.
Yep.
So it's been a great way to just experiment and, try things out and not replicate so that, I'm not doing the same thing at home that I'm doing at the community garden.
Now, you mentioned, and you've done this two or three times, you've met pollinators. I thought bees were the only pollinators. Why the difference? Why do you mention pollinators rather than just bees?
Because all sorts of insects can help pollinate plants.
Can they?
Yes. So a wide variety of insects. Birds are also pollinators. They will, they'll pick and drop things and, help to...
Native bees?
Yes, so that was a shout-out for native bees from Mark. Yeah. So that's really important to bring in our native bees also back into the sort of mix within the...
Hang on, what's native bees compared to normal bees?
So the usual bees that we would see around the garden, they're European bees, you know, the sort of, you know...
Oh,
yes. Yeah. So they're bigger than Australian bees. They have slightly different behaviours as well.
Sting?
Yes, so...
sorry about my voice.
So they're different types of bees with different types of behaviours, but they also will go to different plants as well. So it's you know, yeah, so there's a lot to be aware of in your garden in terms of...
just bees were bees, to be honest.
No. And native bees don't sting.
Do they?
No. Well,
So that's I think another good reason to actually come down to a community garden, that people don't need to think of it as just being food production. Yeah. Obviously food production is a big part of, you know, having community spaces.
Yep.
So to grow for your own table but also to share. So we've made it a really big part of what we do at the garden is to have dedicated beds so we can grow produce to share with people. So we can share, you know, food for free, which is great. And you can get all that different kind of experience at the garden that you might not, you know, get at home, depending on, you know, what you sort of do around the house.
Tell us a bit about this council network, please.
Well, we've been really, really lucky this year. Yarra Rangers Council has actually dedicated a new position for Chelsea McNabb, who's CEO of ECOS, who's also now, she is, I'm trying to remember her name, she's the Sustainability Programs Officer for the Yarra Rangers Council, and it's a dedicated role where she can now oversee activity across all the gardens, community gardens through the Yarra Rangers. There are about 8 or 9. Yes, and so there's a lot of activity, and we've all been operating sort of, individually. But to have somebody link us all together so we can share ideas, share resources, share knowledge, also have a collective voice in terms of advocacy, it's just, you know, been a game changer for community gardens to be able to work together but have a direct link back to council.
Yeah, that's terrific. I didn't realise that there were more than one. I thought it was only the Hillsborough.
No, right through. So, Belgrave, Tacoma, and also up to Ringwood, you know, that's Maroondah Council, yeah. But, you know, still sort of, so it's a really wide patch where you can all, you know, stay connected. Yeah.
Didn't know that. All right. So you've got some events coming up that you want to tell us all about.
Yes. Well, at the community garden, we still have our monthly workshops. So coming up on Sunday, the 1st of October, so it's only a couple of Sundays away, we've got a Spring into Spring workshop, which will be run by Marcus, and that'll be on spring planting, on edible flowers, fertilising and composting.
Hang on. Wait, what's this? Edible flowers. Tell us a bit more about that.
And a lot of people don't realise that, you know, the flowers on common plants are edible. So, for instance, nasturtiums, so many, and they're beautiful. They're beautiful to look at and got beautiful flavours. So nasturtiums, which are a common plant in gardens, some people may not know you can actually eat the leaves, but people who do will assume you can only eat the green leaves, but you can also eat the flowers. So many plants have edible flowers.
So you can actually, and like they're not very filling, are they? So what, have they got health benefits?
Yes.
Why do you eat them?
Yes. Nutrition, but also flavour and colour. So if you're going to add flowers to a salad, for instance, it will add the nutritional value, but it'll add some flavours as well, but also add to the beauty of a dish. To add some flowers.
I didn't realise you could eat any. I was always told that be careful of eating a lot of plants because, like they can be poisonous.
You have to be aware of what you're eating, but so many plants do have flowers.
Like violas.
Violas, there we go. So violas. There's another one. You call out from Mark there. Yes, lots. So people can go online. There's so much information available. You can just go online, just, you know, Google edible flowers and lots will come up.
Didn't know that.
Yes, so that's this Sunday, the 1st of October, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the community garden.
That's not this Sunday, is it? Sunday
week. Sunday week. Yep. It's Sunday week. But very exciting for the Community Gardens Network is that Chelsea is really connected in with Community Gardens Australia. So it's a national network for community gardens of all stripe. And Chelsea's worked really hard to sort of get us on the map as well and, you know, get us involved with those networks. And they're going to have a National Community Gardens Day on the 26th of November this month. Sorry, this year. But then this, and then every year we're going to really focus on those big community gardening days so that the Yarra Rangers can celebrate their community gardens, but we're also then part of national events.
Tell us a bit more about these events that are coming up.
Thank you so much. Well, I mentioned the Community Gardens National Day that's coming up in November this year, and it will be an annual event. And part of the focus for November this year and each year will be a focus on what's called urban farming. And that's really, really exciting because it takes in not just community gardens, but home gardening, small producers, you know, like your local producers. And it's really about elevating our knowledge about it and support for it. And during COVID, we actually had a really nice rise in people's awareness about their local producers. Yeah, because when people couldn't find their produce at their local supermarket or couldn't get to their local supermarkets or their local producers were struggling because of COVID, there was a real spike in people's awareness of who was growing food locally. Yes. And growers did a brilliant thing in terms of being able to set up their click and collect really quickly. So people would literally come to the farm gate, you know, and get their boxes of fruit and veggie and, you know, and take that home. I don't know how much that's dropped off now that, you know, we've kind of settled back into, you know, kind of our pre-COVID ways. But the Urban Agriculture Month hopefully will help to bring that back up where people can continue to support small local producers, you know, support their local gardens. Yeah.
So is there any other events coming up or does that cover them all?
That's probably the those are the big ones for now, but I just would like to flag that, you know, we've made a commitment at the Community Garden to the annual Healesville Homegrown Food Fair. So next year that'll be on Sunday the 7th of April. And what's exciting about that is that we're going to have a Community Gardens open day through the Yarra Ranges. So,
so they'll all be open?
Yes. Yeah, so that particular weekend, yeah, there'll be Belgrave Community Garden will have an event. Healesville will, but it'll also be part of a wider Community Gardens Open Day, which is fantastic. So Chelsea got behind that one and got that going.
And that's in April when?
7th of April, Sunday the 7th of April in 24.
If we've got people listening today who want to get involved with the Healesville Community Garden, how are they going to find out more about it? And how are they going to contact you?
Okay, thanks for asking that question, Alan. That's fantastic. So we've got a Gmail address. So it's just healesvillecg@gmail.com. And we've got a Facebook page, which is Healesville Community Garden. So if people prefer to use Messenger and they like using Facebook, they can just check us on Facebook and just private messages through Messenger and we respond pretty quickly.
But you've got a Facebook page?
Yes. Yes.
So, but to contact you, they contact you through Messenger. But if they go onto Facebook and hit search for Healesville Community Gardens,
yes,
they'll find something about you.
Exactly, Healesville Community Garden, and they'll find us. But also can see the posts. So we post pretty much weekly and you can get a sense of, you know, who, you know, what we do and who we are and the sort of events that we have, you know, come up regularly.
Terrific. Well, we'll just play another one of the Beatles and we'll be back with more. So I urge you to get your paper and pencil ready because at about 5 to 2, we'll get FNA to give you all the contact details again. Mark, we've talked about a lot about this garden, but we haven't told anybody where it is.
Oh, really? Okay. You know, there's a bowling club on River Street. We're right behind that. So there's a little car park. And when you come
at the bowling club?
At the bowling club and at the general car park to the right of that,
right,
which you can just, then you have to walk into our garden. So it's easily seen though. Once you park anywhere near there, you'll see us.
Mark, for people to go down and have a look, I don't know, is it open that people can walk in or what?
Yes, look, people, we encourage people to come in. We don't encourage you to bring your dog.
No.
But you leave that outside or whatever, but
or come and leave it at home.
Or leave it at home. But often the park is known for people walking dogs there, so often they're the recipients of some of my zucchinis. And
why would you do that to a dog?
Well, if they want it, they can have it. But but their owners often get some applied by that. Or actually, I went to see before that lots of people down there grow vegetables and donate them to Hickey, you know, the charity group. Yeah. And so they look forward to me opening the door because I know they're going to get a big bag of tomatoes, a big bag of zucchinis, and whatever else is overflowing at my place.
All right. So, if say we went down, or it's probably raining outside now, but say yesterday, what's the chances of people going to be there? Are there lots of time when there's no one there, or is there a lot of people there?
Oh yeah, look, there's plenty of times when there's no one there. But as we said before, we often get in touch with each other via the website or whatever, and organise a time to meet someone down there or have a coffee at first in the street and meet down there. You know, so it's not busy, but there's always someone around.
So let's just mention again, on the 1st of October, you've got Spring into Spring. So what sort of hours is that? Will that be?
10 to 11.
Oh, it's only an hour.
It's only an hour, and Marcus is very knowledgeable on the topics, and he will guide you through. An hour goes in 5 minutes.
I think that's Sunday week, if I remember right, is it? Sunday week.
Sounds about right.
1st of October, Spring into Spring, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. down at the Hillsville Community Garden. We're talking about the Hillsville Community Garden. Ethna, you want to just enlarge on the access to the garden we were talking about?
Yes, thanks, Alan. So the garden's actually open 24/7. So we're part of the larger footprint at Coronation Park in Hillsville, or Brungagulk, as the Woiwurrung would have originally called it. So on River Street, as Mark said, behind the bowling club. So because we're part of that wider footprint, we do have a lot of people pass by because they walk their dogs, and it's an off-leash dog park. Yep. But we strongly discourage people from bringing dogs into the garden, so it's a dog-free zone. Yep. Unless you are have a registered assistance dog. So obviously, you know, that's yep, you know, perfectly fine. So I just wanted to clarify that. But also, as part of being in an open public space, we've got a really, really strong commitment to our child safety. So we have lots of parents, you know, come and bring their families in, which we love. So we love seeing people who perhaps have gardens at home and they want to, you know, share garden experiences with their children, or don't have gardens at home, and that's one way to, you know, introduce different sorts of plants to their children. And it's a wonderful experience of community. So we've got all generations, you know, coming into the garden and enjoying what's there. But it means that we need to really make sure that all children are safe in the garden. So we've got a really strong commitment to that. And we have our child safe policy. And we're also now starting to do presentations to our members. So at our last working bee, which was last Sunday, we started the first of our presentations. And it means that, you know, all members will eventually have a really good, clear understanding of what child safe expectations are across Victoria.
Yep.
For all community groups. And it means that when we're at the garden, we're just, you know, we're really up to speed, and we just make sure that, you know, we're just on, you know, just really making sure that everyone feels safe. Yep. And are safe when they're at the garden.
And that's the way it should be. There's no requirement on the actual people that own that are part of the garden to actually have a working with children.
No, because they're not working with children. So it's really that indirect contact. So gardeners will come to the garden, to garden. So their job is to, you know, look after their plot. It's not to do anything specific, you know, on behalf of children, their families. But that indirect contact means that, you know, you just need to make sure that you're just, you know, making just a really safe and sort of welcoming space for people.
Ethna, you've got us excited. So tell us why we should join this great group, and also how to join and how we're going to become part of it.
Gardening is awesome for everyone, Alan, and I'm saying that genuinely, for people of all ages, all abilities. A, it's fun. It's a really fun, healthy thing to do. It's great for yourself mentally and physically. And you're in the outdoors, you're in the environment, and in Healesville where we are, it is beautiful. We are so fortunate. It's absolutely gorgeous. But any time you spend time in nature, you get a benefit. So being outdoors, being physical, being around people, you've got so many benefits. The other really practical thing is that if you're growing some food toward your meals, you're making a saving. You know that you've got good, healthy food, chemical-free food on your table.
I was going to say, and they haven't been sprayed.
They haven't been sprayed, so they're delicious, full of flavour. They've been picked at the right time, and it's just a fantastic complement to the other foods that you put on your table, and lovely to share. So if you're growing more than you need, like Mark was saying before, you can share. So you can share with friends and family, you can share with community groups. What we often do too is just leave food at our produce stand at the front gate, and people can help themselves. Yeah, absolutely. So if people wanted to get hold of us, email's a great way to go because we check our email regularly. So that's healesvillecg@gmail.com. We've got a Facebook page, so we're Healesville Community Garden on Facebook, and you can private message us through Messenger. And what I'd also like to do is just let people know that with the new Community Gardens Network through the council, there's a fantastic page on the council website.
Yep.
So if people just keyed in Gardens for Harvest...
We're talking Yarra Rangers Council.
Yarra Rangers Council. Thanks for the pick-up there, Alan. So Yarra Rangers Council, if you key in Gardens for Harvest, a page will come up and it's got fantastic information about food production and community gardens throughout the Yarra Ranges. So if you go to Gardens for Harvest, it will have the 8 or 9 community gardens that are dotted throughout the Yarra Ranges, and you can click on each garden. So you might be listening and hearing about Healesville Community Garden today, but you've got the choice of 8 or 9 throughout.
And some of our audience live in places like Mount Evelyn and over there.
Yes, exactly. So that, you know, then you can know that you might likely have a community garden close to where you live. So if you go onto the Yarra Rangers Council website, Gardens for Harvest, you'll see what's available. That's a great way to find out more.
So just give us your contact details again, please.
Okay, so healesvillecg@gmail.com.
There's no dots between Healesville and C and G, just all one word?
All one word, thank you. And Facebook page is Healesville Community Garden, and you can private message us through Messenger on Facebook. And the Facebook page is also a great way for you to see what we're doing regularly at the garden, get to see some of our members, some of the produce, and and you can just kind of get a feel for who we are as a group.
So I guess too, if you like it, then you're going to find out as the information comes available too, aren't you?
Absolutely. And the other thing to really throw in there as well, Alan, is that you don't have to have a plot or a planter box to be part of the garden. If you want to join just as an associate member or social member, you can become part of the garden and just be there to engage with other gardeners. And it's a great way for people to go. So they can first just, you know, get to know us, be part of what we're doing. And then if you feel, you know, you'd like to take that next step into growing your own food or flowers, then you're more than welcome. But it's not essential that to be a member you have to be a plot holder. You can come and just be a social member.
Just come along and enjoy the fun and whatever goes on.
Exactly. And the free pizza. We love making pizza with our awesome pizza oven.
You've got a pizza oven there, have you?
Oh, yes, we did last time.
You've left that till the last time. Tell us about that.
Yes. Oh, no, we had one made for us out of all recycled materials, reclaimed materials. It's really efficient. It heats up in about 5 minutes, doesn't use much wood, and we can just pump out beautiful pizza.
So when do you have the pizzas?
Well, any time we get together and people feel like, you know, they want to share some food, it's really quick and easy to set up.
Gee, well... We should have talked about this earlier on.
I remember for next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's been fantastic having you in and talking more about the Healesville Community Gardens. 1st of October, down at the gardens between 10 and 11 for spring into spring. And we'll get FNA back before the 7th of April and we'll talk all about what's going on then. Great to have the two of you along. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.